Having watched the tribute interviews all my life, I know there's truth in what he's saying. If you appeal to the crowd, either by being humorous or brutal or eccentric, you gain favor. What's PETA's approach, or am I not allowed to ask? I say.
Likeable. He has a sort of self-deprecating humor naturally, says Haymitch. Whereas when you open your mouth, you come across more as sullen and hostile.
I do not, I say.
Please, I don't know where you pulled that cheery, wavy girl on the chariot from, but I haven't seen her before or since, says Haymitch.
And you've given me so many reasons to be cheery, I counter.
But you don't have to please me. I'm not going to sponsor you, so pretend I'm the audience, says Haymitch. Delight me.
Fine, I snarl. Haymitch takes the role of the interviewer, and I try to answer his questions in a winning fashion. But I can't. I'm too angry with Haymitch for what he said, and that I even have to answer the questions. All I can think of is how unjust the whole thing is, the Hunger Games. Why am I hopping around like some trained dog trying to please people I hate? The longer the interview goes on, the more my fury seems to rise to the surface, until I'm literally spitting out answers at him.
All right, enough, he says. We've got to find another angle. Not only are you hostile, I don't know anything about you. I've asked you 50 questions and still have no sense of your life, your family, what you care about. They want to know about you, Katniss.
But I don't want them to. They're already taking my future. They can't have the things that matter to me in the past, I say.
Then lie. Make something up, says Haymitch.
I'm not good at lying, I say.
Well, you better learn fast. You've got about as much charm as a dead slug, says Haymitch.
Ouch, that hurts. Even Haymitch must know he's been too harsh because his voice softens.
Here's an idea. Try acting humble.
Humble, I echo.
That you can't believe a little girl from District 12 has done this well. The whole thing's been more than you ever could have dreamed of. Talk about Cinna's clothes, how nice the people are, how the city amazes you. If you won't talk about yourself, at least compliment the audience. Just keep turning it back around, all right? Gush.
The next hours are agonizing. At once, it's clear I cannot gush. We try me playing cocky, but I just don't have the arrogance. Apparently, I'm too vulnerable for ferocity. I'm not witty, funny, sexy, or mysterious. By the end of the session, I am no one at all. Haymitch started drinking somewhere around witty, and a nasty edge has crept into his voice.
I give up, sweetheart. Just answer the questions and try not to let the audience see how openly you despise them.
I have dinner that night in my room, ordering an outrageous number of delicacies, eating myself sick, and then taking out my anger at Haymitch, at the Hunger Games, at every living being in the capital by smashing dishes around my room. When the girl with the red hair comes in to turn down my bed, her eyes widen at the mess.
Just leave it, I yell at her. Just leave it alone.
I hate her, too, with her knowing, reproachful eyes that call me a coward, a monster, a puppet of the capital, both now and then. For her, justice must finally be happening. At least my death will help pay for the life of the boy in the woods. But instead of fleeing the room, the girl closes the door behind her and goes to the bathroom. She comes back with a damp cloth and wipes my face gently, then cleans the blood from a broken plate off my hands. Why is she doing this? Why am I letting her? I should have tried to save you, I whisper. She shakes her head. Does this mean we were right to stand by? That she has forgiven me? No, it was wrong, I say. She taps her lips with her fingers, then points to my chest. I think she means that I would just have ended up an AVOX too. Probably would have. An AVOX or dead. I spend the next hour helping the red-headed girl clean the room. When all the garbage has been dropped down a disposal and the food cleaned away, she turns down my bed. I crawl in between the sheets like a 5-year-old and let her tuck me in. Then she goes. I want her to stay until I fall asleep. To be there when I wake up. I want the protection of this girl, even though she never had mine.